Well, we're continuing in our study of 1 Corinthians 13. Let me read that chapter for you. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide. The greatest of these is love. You ever have an acquaintance that did the kind of one-upmanship with you, no matter what? I mean, you did something, he did something better. You saw something, he saw something greater. You got a good deal, he got the great deal. You're friends with the undersecretary of whatever, he's friends with the president. That sort of thing. You get the idea. We probably all know somebody like that. And there's a kind of braggart that continually boasts of his exploits, the shady things he got away with, the wild weekend that he just had, how he broke all the rules and didn't get caught, that kind of guy. Now, a boaster can get quite annoying pretty quickly. We can find all sorts of things to brag about. Our town, our state, our team, our family, our heritage, our school, our church, our denomination, on and on and on. We can brag about all sorts of things. Now, some of that will go on in actual conversation with people. But in today's world, a whole lot of it goes on in social media. Even bumper stickers, badges, t-shirts, you name it. We can figure out all sorts of ways of boasting and bragging. It's a daily temptation. Now, there can be negative bragging also, like those who go on and on about how bad they have it, how sick they are, how much pain they have, how poor they are, how broke they are, what doesn't work, that sort of thing. Remember the old Monty Python skit, The Four Yorkshiremen? I was happier in those days. I had nothing. We used to live in a tiny old house with great big holes in the roof. House? You were lucky to have a house. We used to live in one room, all 126 of us, crowded in a big hole in the floor, crowded in one corner for fear of falling. Oh, I used to, you were lucky to have a room. We used to live in a corridor. Oh, we used to dream of living in a corridor. Would have been a palace to us. House. Well, when I said house, it was only a hole in the ground covered by a piece of tarpaulin. We got evicted from our hole in the ground. Yeah. Now, that's extreme and absurd and intended to be. But you get the point that there are people like that who go on and on and on about how bad they have it. The problem is that love does not boast either in its prosperity or in its adversity. Neither one. So that pretty much cancels all of it out. Well, how do we define boasting then? Kiestermacher wrote in his commentary, "Love does not brag. Paul uses a verb that depicts a person as a braggart or a windbag. Such a person parades his embellished rhetoric to gain recognition. His behavior is marked by egotism. A braggart exhibits pride in himself and his accomplishments. But such bragging is devoid of love to God and to one's fellow man, and is a blatant sin. Further, bragging and arrogance go hand in hand. Now, we need to ask the question, is it ever okay to be proud of someone or something? Yeah, I believe it is, and maybe pride isn't the best word to use for it, but if your child does a super job on something, for you to be delighted in them, I think is a good thing. You feel gratified and pleased that they accomplished what they did. But you must not let that slip into sinful arrogance. In the same way, let's say you worked on some project and it turned out really great, and you're very pleased with it. That's, I think, a good thing. Even if you wanted to show it to others, I think it's a good thing. But the more you move toward that, the more you might be teetering on the edge of arrogance and boasting. So we got to be careful. Now, when the Bible talks about arrogance and boasting, Book of Psalms has a whole slew of them. We're only going to look at a few. In Psalm 5:5, the arrogant cannot stand in your presence. That's pretty alarming. 75:4, to the arrogant I say, boast no more, and to the wicked, do not lift up your horns. In Psalm 94:4, a wicked person will pour out arrogant words, and all the evildoers are full of boasting. 119:21, I will rebuke the arrogant who are accursed, those who stray from your commands. Also in 119:78, may the arrogant be put to shame. It's the opposite of what they're pursuing. Now, Psalter's not the only place where we find this sort of thing. We find it in the prophets as well. Just a sampling here from Isaiah 2. The eyes of the arrogant will be humbled and human pride brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. In Isaiah 5, so people will be brought low and everyone humbled, the eyes of the arrogant humbled. So we find it throughout the scripture. That's just a sampling there. We could make really quite a list of Old Testament personalities, and new for that matter, who were arrogant boasters. Goliath was arrogant. Sennacherib, Belshazzar, Nebuchadnezzar, and many, many more who boasted before God, who boasted before man. And God was just in punishing the arrogance of them. But it's just not just an historic problem. There's just as much of it today, if not more. Now, it's easy for us to point fingers at the rich and famous and say, yeah, they do it all the time. But so do we. Maybe not in as blatant a fashion, but we have our moments of arrogance. We too boast. What our text is declaring, that when we are arrogant and boasting, we're simply not loving. Look at the opening verses of chapter 13 that I just read a little bit. If I speak in the tongues of men and angels but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have and deliver up my body to be burned but have not love, I gain nothing. Now, if all of us had all of those things, wouldn't you be tempted to boast in your spiritual superiority? I gave away all I have. What have you done? You know, that sort of thing. So we need to seriously take this to heart. Well, what causes arrogance and boasting? Now, in our politically correct world, it's not really kosher any longer to speak of people that are superiors and those that are inferiors. But it's true. I mean, it's clearly true in all of life. Some people are good at certain things and terrible at other things. The guy that is superior can be easily tempted to be arrogant and to be a boaster. We see it all the time in pro athletics. No matter what your sport is, all kinds of boasters and arrogance all over the place. Now, believe it or not, I can't swim like Michael Phelps. Is that a surprise to you? Probably not. Nor can I sing, you may not know this guy, but you should, I can't sing like David Phelps. Michael Phelps, probably the best swimmer in the world, never could swim like him because he's the best. David Phelps, I can't sing like him, but he certainly is among the best. Great gospel tenor. Now, these guys are superior to me and to most of the rest of humanity. To be the best or even really good opens the door to boast about your accomplishments. In Daniel 4, the king had a dream and Daniel came and interpreted it for him. And the prophecy was actually against the king himself. And we pick up reading in chapter 4 at verse 29. It says, at the end of the 12 months, he, Nebuchadnezzar, was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is this not great Babylon which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? There's some boasting for you. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. Oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdoms of men and gives it to whomever he will. And immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. Pride, arrogance, boasting. He was reduced to not much more above an animal for 7 years. But then it says, in verse 34, at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. And he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say to him, what have you done? He learned a lesson about who rules, didn't he? He learned a lesson about his own arrogance and his boasting. And now he's praising God. I often wonder, will we see Nebuchadnezzar in heaven? I don't know, but it's pretty good confession right there. Well, that's the superior people. What about the inferior guy? He can be tempted to boast in order to compensate for his felt inadequacy. This kind of boasting can include all sorts of made-up stuff, tall tales of accomplishments, enhanced status for the stats of this or that, anything to make the boaster look bigger and better in the eyes of others. I had a friend as a kid who was notorious for this. I mean, story after story. Like the time he and his mom had gone to the Gettysburg battlefield, and they were in that area called Devil's Den. And he claims that a rock gave way and there was a small cave there full of soldiers' bones. Well, if that had happened, that'd be all over the news. He just made it up trying to impress me. When we recognize that we are inferior in something, it's important to accept our status and seek to improve. It's the arrogant guy, even though inferior, the arrogant guy is unteachable and uncoachable. He won't listen to what you have to say. He'll probably say things, oh, I know that, you know, and just pass off whatever you're trying to say to him. He doesn't want useful counsel or correction in any way. Kids, let me talk to you for a second. As you grow, you're going to grow and develop skills and abilities. Some of you are going to be good at this thing, some of the other. And right now, some of you, may be a really good runner. Somebody else might be able to read really well. It's two different things, but one is better than the other, and that's okay. But as you grow, you're going to develop into whatever the Lord has for you, And one person might want to be a teacher, another person an engineer, another person a musician, and all of that. Nobody can be the best at everything. So be really good at what the Lord gives you to do. Now, usually, there's a guy sitting like right here. His name is Mr. Zeke. Some of you have met Mr. Zeke. Zeke's a really good car mechanic. He can fix basically any kind of car. And does he have the right to boast and brag that I'm really good? No. Now, Travis here is a really good singer. You've probably heard him. Okay. Does Zeke have the right to brag to Travis saying, I'm a better car mechanic than you? Or Travis reply back, well, I'm a better singer than you. Huh? Should they do that? No. But you know what? Kids do that a lot. Kids boast and brag about all sorts of things. You know, my Aunt Tilly did such and such, probably just made the whole thing up, but just to look bigger and better. No, that's when we do that, we're not loving the person that we're saying those things to. Love does not boast. But the Bible says, and you read it in the responsive reading, that if we're going to boast, what should we boast about? He said, boast in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he has dealt with that sin for you on the cross. So believe in him and boast in him. All right. One other big point is that when we're boasting and bragging, we're missing grace. In 1 Corinthians 4, we read, what do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? We have what we have by grace. Boasting as though we had generated it all out of our own skill, our own cleverness, whatever else. No, that's out of bounds. It attempts to take some of God's glory to ourselves. That's what Nebuchadnezzar has done, and you saw what happened to him. Spurgeon's morning devotion last week, one day, I forget which day it was, nails this perfectly. He wrote, I'm going to read the whole thing. It's in the blue sheet if you want to follow along. But he wrote on Ezekiel 15:2, Son of man, what is the vine tree more than any tree, or than a branch which is among the trees of the forest? These words are for the humbling of God's people. They're called God's vine. But what are they by nature more than others? They, by God's goodness, have become fruitful. Having been planted in good soil, the Lord has trained them upon the walls of the sanctuary, and they bring forth fruit to his glory. But what are they without their God? What are they without the continual influence of the Spirit, begetting fruitfulness in them? O believer, learn to reject pride, seeing that you have no ground for it. Whatever you are, you have nothing to make you proud. The more you have, the more you're in debt to God. And you should not be proud of that which renders you a debtor. Consider your origin. Look back to what you were. Consider what you would have been but for the divine grace. Look upon yourself as you are now. Does not your conscience reproach you? Do not your thousand wanderings stand before you and tell you that you are unworthy to be called his son? And if he has made you anything, you're not taught thereby that it is grace which has made you to differ? Great believer, you would have been a great sinner if God had not made you to differ. O you who art valiant for truth, you would have been as valiant for error if grace had not laid hold of you. Therefore, be not proud. Though you have a large estate, a wide domain of grace, you have not once a single thing to call your own except your sin and misery. Oh, strange infatuation that you, who have borrowed everything, should think of exalting yourself. a poor dependent pensioner upon the bounty of your Savior, one who has life which dies without fresh streams of life from Jesus, and yet proud? Fie on thee, O silly heart. Fie there means disgust or something like that. Well, he nails it, doesn't he? Why do we boast as though we haven't received it? Why do you act as though someone else hadn't been your supplier and your provider all of your life? Something else to think about. Does our boasting cause envy in someone else? Is there really a bit of that in our hearts? In some twisted sort of way, don't we actually like being envied? We already saw the other week that envy does not allow you to love. But when we boast, there's at least a temptation to others to envy us. I'm making myself look bigger and better and greater and larger. Wouldn't you like to be like me? Isn't that really a reason to boast? We boast so that they will be diminished and desire what we have. So there's a double evil involved in this. Well, what's the solution? Well, you need to admit your arrogance and the boasting that you do. Admit it to God. Confess it as sin. Now, confessing sin to God is a safe thing to do because as a believer in Christ, you have assurance from Him that you are in Christ. You are accepted. He will not cast you out. By faith, you're united to Christ. The Father will never cast out the Son. So in Jesus' name, confess your sin. Tell Him about those times that you were arrogant, even if you didn't act on the thoughts. The thoughts themselves were sin. Confess it. Confess those times that you tried to make yourself look bigger by boasting, even if what you said was true, your intent was wrong. Acknowledge that Christ died on the cross to pay for your pride and arrogance, every little bit of your boasting. Thank Him for the supreme, infinite sacrifice for sinners. Thank Him that for His righteous obedience, that by faith was imputed to you on your account. Jesus never thought of Himself more highly than He should have. He didn't boast. He always loved, and He always spoke the truth. So humble yourself in prayer and ask God to remove your pride and arrogance. Ask Him to help keep you from boasting, so that you can more genuinely love others. Acknowledge that when you're boasting, you are not loving. Also confess your absolute dependence on Christ for salvation, and that you have no grounds upon which to boast except in Him. Acknowledge as well, as Matt pointed out last week, that in Christ you are dead to sin. You don't have to boast anymore. Well, another thing is express gratitude. Express gratitude to God for creation, for redemption, for provision, for protection, all of these things. We should be continually full of praise and thanksgiving to Him for loving us, for caring for us, for saving us. Any talents and abilities we possess, we need to thank God who gave them to us. And we need to express gratitude to those around us. When we express gratitude, it will tend to pull us away from boasting and arrogance, because in expressing gratitude, there's some degree of indebtedness involved in that. If I'm thanking you for something, for doing something, I feel a sense of indebtedness to you, and that will tend to lead me away from boasting and arrogance. So the more grateful we are, the less likely we will be arrogant and boastful. And then we also need to try and direct attention to others when possible. I don't know how many of you pay attention to the NFL or particularly to the Ravens, but their new quarterback, Lamar Jackson, does this all the time. In interviews, he directs the attention to his offensive line, to his receivers, to the defense, and that sort of thing. He tries to keep the focus off of himself. One of the other players actually appointed himself to sing Lamar's praises because he won't do it for himself. But that attitude is so extremely rare in professional athletics today. It's refreshing. Now, if we're to avoid boasting and arrogance, we need to do this too. Direct the attention to others who have contributed to your project or who have enabled you to accomplish this or that. It's always a good thing to direct attention to other folks. Jesus did it. He directed attention to the Father who sent him. John the Baptist's classic proclamation about Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. That needs to be our motto as well. Let's direct attention to the Lord Jesus Christ. All of life must be directed toward God and His grace. He alone is worthy of worship. Our praise and adoration must be flowing to Him continually. He's the one who has forgiven us on the basis of the work of His Son for us. Boasting is an attempt to direct attention that should be going to God to us and receive praise for ourselves. That's the wrong way. So fill your heart and mind with the goodness of God, with the knowledge that you are united to Christ, and by faith that the Lord Jesus Christ lived and died and rose again for you. Seek to love Him with all your heart, because He's worthy of that love and for all that He has done. So as we said earlier, if you're going to boast, boast in the Lord. Let's come to His table.